Welcome to North Coast Conversation, a public service presentation of AM 930 and 100.3 FM WEOL. North Coast Conversation dedicated to events and issues affecting Lorain County. I'm your host, Bruce Van Dyke. And I'd like to do something special on today's North Coast Conversation. Cleveland Guardians just finished up a big campaign for 2024, getting 92 wins in the regular season, advancing to the American League Championship Series against the New York Yankees under first-year manager Stephen Vogt. And so earlier this week, the manager, along with the president of baseball operations, Chris Antonetti, met with the media to talk about this past season and the future of the club.
Chris, why don't we start with you and just if you can give us your evaluation of generally how you feel the last 12 months went and the roller coaster you went on from, you know, a managerial search to having a really young team and what this year turned into for you.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, Brandon. Thanks for asking. I'll maybe start with the end. It's disappointing when seasons end like they did. Our goal is to find a way to win that last game played and to win the World Series. And this year we had an opportunity to do that, but were unable to get to that point. So on some level, that's of course disappointing. But when I am able to zoom out and think about what the last year has been for this organization, it's been a really successful one on a lot of fronts. Starting last offseason with bring Stephen on board and welcoming him to the organization was really a critical moment for us. And as excited as we were at the time when we hired Stephen and felt that he would be a great major league manager, he has come in and surpassed all of those expectations. He's done an extraordinary job of creating a culture and environment that brings out the best in people. And ultimately, that's what we seek in a leader. And Stephen, from the day he joined the organization, has been deliberate in everything he's done about creating and building the best environment, not only in the Major League Clubhouse, but throughout the organization. And the relationships he built with individual players, how much he believed in them, the opportunities he provided, the way he positioned each player to succeed and contribute was a direct factor in the success of our season. And It was incredible to see as we wrapped up the end of the year, the number of people that streamed into Stephen's office at the end of the year to give him a big hug and say, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for believing me. I love you and can't wait to see you next year. And I think what we're hopeful is we can use this as a building block and find a way next year to take that next step, because the goal will remain the same. We want to find a way to make the postseason and then find a way to win that last game and win a World Series. So at this time next year, we don't have that tinge of bitterness and disappointment that we're left with when we don't win that final game.
Chris, it seemed like there were a few points this year where you were maybe more aggressive with prospect promotion than you might have been in the past. That's just my read on it. But going to a guy like Noel, for instance, or going to your young relievers early in the season, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think in each of those moments, we provided promotions to players when there was an opportunity and when we felt they were in a position to contribute to helping us win games. And I think what we saw is, by and large, a lot of those players that came up and were given opportunities took advantage of those opportunities and really helped us win games. And we saw that not only across the diamond, but on the mound, in the bullpen. We got contributions from a lot of young players. We were, again, the youngest team in baseball. And this is only the second time in the last 30 years that the youngest team has also made the postseason. The only other time that happened was in 2022. And I think it's, again, a credit to the environment that Stephen and our coaches create, but also the work that our player development staff does in helping prepare players for those opportunities. So when they are there, they're prepared to come in and contribute.
Perhaps a question for both of you, but maybe Chris, you can start. How do you balance the idea of you have this young team with so many guys that are under club control that just showed maybe your competitive window to win a World Series is here, perhaps quicker than some others expected? How do you balance trying to develop those guys and then also adding major league pieces that can get you over the hump? Because this group was that close, but not quite there yet.
That's something, Brandon, that we're going to have to continue to weigh as we go into the offseason, because as you said, we are really excited about the group of players that we not only that have already contributed at the major league level, but we feel we have a really healthy player development system and minor league players that are at the cusp, if not ready, to contribute and fill some of those opportunities. So what we have to do is weigh what's the benefit of providing some of those young players opportunities to come in and contribute versus what opportunities might there be externally to potentially address areas to help bolster the team. And there's not one magic answer to that. It really comes down to individual instances of particular players, both externally and internally, to figure out how we work through that.
Voter, for you, everything happened so fast this year. You're instantly, your rookie year as a manager, you're instantly in contention. And then on top of that, you know, you advance deep into October. How have you kind of processed things in the last couple of days since the run ended and just, you know, the ride you were just on?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, continuing to process more and more each day. It's not just a one-time sit down and think about everything. But when I look back, obviously, Chris already said, we're disappointed. You know, we were right there. We felt like we were in that ALCS series the entire way. Any game could have gone our way, and we should be playing tonight is how we feel about it. So, but then you look back over the entirety of the season from spring training and even back a year ago when interviewing for the job, and just the work and the amount of time that we've spent together, you know, coming up with ideas and pushing our players to be their best. And you look back over the course of the roller coaster of this regular season and postseason race, it was a blast. We had so much fun and saw so many different players and coaches grow, and myself in this job, you know, grow and learn every single day. And in my quick reflections, there's happiness, there's sadness, there's anger, there's, you name it, you feel every emotion. But at the end of the day, I'm so proud of what we accomplished, and I'm hungry for more for next year.
Voter, you obviously have an interesting perspective because you played catcher. I want to ask you about Bo Naylor and his, you know, growth throughout the year. I know we've talked to you a lot about him, but now that you have a 162 game sample size plus, you know, to 10 playoff games, from where he was in spring training, what did you notice most in his growth, and how did Austin Hedges help foster that?
Yeah, I mean, the amount of growth that Bo had this year, we can't quantify. He went from, you know, in your first full season being, you know, quasi everyday catcher, the amount of work that we put on him day in and day out, the amount of preparations, the amount of meetings, you know, making 175 in-game decisions and calling pitches, the bandwidth that that takes on top of the meetings and all of us trying to help him get better and learn more. It's a tough task for anybody, let alone someone in their first full season. And he navigated, and actually the game five of the ALCS might have been the best game he called all year. And it just looking at that was incredible. And Bo's growth was huge. And Austin played a big role in that as well. And so did David Fry. They were a three-headed monster that helped each other every step of the way. And we couldn't have asked anything more from Bo from a catching standpoint, and just so proud of the strides that he made.
Chris, how much is David Fry a part of the catching plan moving forward? Or is it just his versatility that is attractive to you? I know he's under control for a while. Do you want him to get his arm healthy and to be part of the rotation behind the plate moving forward?
Yeah, I think we share the same vision as David is. We'd love for him to be able to have catching as part of his skill set and be able to do that. And, you know, this year as the season unfolded, you know, we saw the impact that had in the first half of the season when he was able to go behind the plate and while also having the versatility to play other positions. And we want to get David back to that point. Unfortunately, in the second half of the year, his elbow didn't cooperate, and the demands of catching and throwing volume just didn't work for his elbow. So we first need to work with David, get him healthy, make sure his elbow's in a place where he can take on the demands of catching and playing other positions. Because our best teams have David Fry with the ability to catch. I think maybe to add to that, Brandon, part of why we're so enthusiastic and encouraged about that is because of the progress David made as a catcher in spring training and through the first half of the season. He put a ton of work in with our catching group to really build his skills as a catcher, and we were thrilled with the progress he made. And he was not only a difference maker offensively when he caught, but also behind the plate.
Anyone besides Brendan or AC, although you guys are killing it?
I'll jump in with one. Chris, how much of a surprise was the dominance of the bullpen to you? And how sustainable do you think it is to roll that over season to season to season?
Well, rewinding back to spring training, we felt we had a really interesting mix of arms that were in the bullpen, that were out in the bullpen. It would be hard to say that we sat there and predicted, and we were going to predict that this year we'd have one of the best bullpens, not only in baseball, but one of the best bullpens of the last 25 to 30 years. We recognize that that's a really tall order, but we were excited about the group that we had. And I think as we look forward from where we are today is we're returning the vast majority, if not all of that group. And so what we want to do is make sure we're supporting them, make sure they have good winters and preparing them to have very successful 2025 seasons, and then hopefully have another group of players beneath that that could also complement that group if and when there are needs moving forward. But we believe it will continue to be a strength of our team, but we're also realistic to know to say we don't want to underappreciate the contributions that they made this year. It literally was historic. And so I don't think we were necessarily counting on having another historic bullpen next year, but we believe it will continue to be a strength of our team.
Were you surprised at what happened with the bullpen in the postseason, you know, when teams and players have a chance to prepare so differently and see guys day after day after day? Or was that something that you thought was a strong possibility given the nature of the playoffs?
Well, the very nature of the playoffs, you're playing the best teams. In the end, we were one of the four teams left playing, and we were facing a team and a lineup that has three or maybe more Hall of Fame caliber players. And those players are really good at what they do. And there were times when our group of pitchers got the better end of things and were able to get a meaningful out and make a pitch and get a strikeout or get an out in a meaningful time. And there were times when the hitters showed their skills and, you know, were able to put a good swing on it. And maybe that was a difference in the game, but that's the nature of competition. You want, you know, your best going against their best. And I think that's what the playoffs bring out. And, you know, it was an exceptionally competitive series with the Yankees. And, you know, that group of pitchers was responsible for helping make it such a competitive series.
Chris, and Steven, you guys faced an unusual amount of challenges with the starting pitching group this year, unusual for this franchise. For guys like Logan Allen and Tristan McKenzie who didn't end the year with you, what's the message this offseason to them coming into spring training, what they need to do to be help part of the rotation next year?
Voter, you want to jump in on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously that this year, you know, with the starting pitching, we had some challenges and we had some guys step up at times and be great. You know, you think about losing Shane Bieber two starts in and then everybody else stepping up. And, you know, Tanner Bibee was excellent and Ben Lively was phenomenal for us. And with Tristan and Logan, you know, we saw it at times where they had games where they carried us and they helped us win. And I think for both of them, what the message is have a great winter, get yourself back to where you want to be and come in and compete in spring training. And we're partnering with them in that along the way. You know, we're helping them understand what needs to be worked on and how to improve. And both of them showed signs in AAA this year as well, that it's still in there. And the good part with Tristan is he stayed healthy throughout this year. And that was the biggest question mark for him. So there's definitely some work to do, but we're excited about the future of both Tristan and Logan and their possible contributions for us next year.
Chris, I know it's, you know, too early for specifics and you probably wouldn't want to give me specifics anyway, but what is your kind of general sense of the offseason outlook with, you know, what the team did, the way the fans responded? I know there's a lot of weirdness in the air TV wise, but do you have a general sense of what you'll be able to accomplish this offseason?
I think we have a great foundation to build upon, Anthony. It was an extraordinary year for us organizationally where we had a really young team that went on and did some great things. And as we said, it wasn't the ultimate accomplishment of winning the World Series, but there were a lot of things to build upon for this year. And the success that we had on the field also was mirrored with some incredible things off the field. The renovations we invested in the ballpark created an awesome environment for our fans that they really embraced. We had great attendance, great fan support throughout the course of the season that led to help contribute to us having the best home record in baseball. So there's a lot of great things that we have going organizationally. And what we want to do is try to continue to build on that momentum and, you know, have a good offseason, both in terms of the development of the roster that we have here, which, as we know, will be the determinant of our success next year, is going to be how well does this group do in developing and taking that next step. And then also, how do we balance that and look at what opportunities do we have externally to add to this roster to complement and help us improve?
And Chris, if I could jump in on that too, with the attendance and the fans, I mean, there's no secret why we had a great, you know, home record, and our fans showing up night in, night out, and Progressive Field was rocking all year long. Our players spoke about it in the clubhouse. We talked about it as a group, how much fun we enjoyed playing in front of our fans. And we couldn't be more thankful for the support that we had out at the ballpark every night.
Boater, 10, 11, 12 months ago, you know, you were interviewing for a managerial spot. You were probably hoping for, you know, your dream to come true, to become the manager of a ball club. And this is your first off season going in, having a season under your belt. This has to be a different kind of off season for you. What's your plan? How do you plan to handle digesting what was and then planning for what you hope will be?
I couldn't be more thankful for the opportunity that, you know, Mr. Dolan, Chris, and the front office gave me to have this job. And I had so much fun working with these guys. And first thing I want to do is just reflect and turn off and be able to just let my mind go to ease. I mean, it's been a lot of bandwidth for me and learning every step of the way, and feel like you've been going on full go for a full year. So what it looks like is taking some time to turn off, reflect, and then it's diving right back in on how we can get better next year. How can I improve? How can we improve as a group? What can we make better from this year and help our players have more resources and more information to go out and be at their best every day? It's keeping in contact with coaches and players, and how can we support you while you're in your off season, while also giving them their space. And so it's a lot of feeling it out. And the beautiful part is there's so many great people I work with that have great ideas, and we're all going to put our heads together to see how we can win the last game of the year next year and not have this feeling that we have with baseball still going on.
Chris, can you elaborate a little bit on the renovations that you guys are planning here in the off season and what fans can look forward to next year?
So I think there are a few different, obviously we completed a few renovations prior to the 2024 season. We'll have another new set of renovations completed prior to the start of 2025. A few of those will be fan facing, and that's the Terrace Hub in left field, which will replace the Terrace Club. And then there will be a new home plate club that will replace the dugout suites. And one of the things I'm most excited about, and voters most excited about, is our the area underneath that supports our players, the clubhouse environment, the training rooms will undergo a massive renovation, and we'll have all new state-of-the-art facilities for our players and staff.
Stephen, Brian Rocchio obviously had a pretty terrific postseason, and it sure feels like he's a big part of what, you know, this core group is going forward. Where was he demonstrably different when the lights got a little bit brighter and he performed really well?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak enough about the job that Brian Rocchio did playing shortstop every day. Obviously, Gold Glove finalist. He worked tirelessly with, you know, Ruglis Odor and Kai Correa and his defense, and, you know, worked tirelessly in the cage with our hitting group as well. So Brian put in the work. He showed up every day, was the same person, consistent. And he grew a lot as a player this year. And to see the performance that he put on offensively in the postseason, it's not a surprise after a full season under his belt, as well as his experience in winter ball last year playing in on a big stage. And the quality of at bat that he put together, you know, what we saw was, you know, swinging at the right pitches, taking some unbelievably tough pitches to take, and just finding ways to get on base and barrel the baseball both sides of the plate. Brian was outstanding and tremendous for us in the postseason, and really a good sign of what could be moving forward. And really, it's just a testament of the growth and the learning that he did along the way during the season.
Chris, what can you say about you know, the Bieber situation with his rehab, and does that maybe give you a leg up you know, in terms of bringing him back? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, as you know, we had a chance to connect with Shane before he headed back to Arizona, where we will continue to support his rehab. We told Shane we'd love to have him back. I think Shane has interest in coming back, but at the same time, he's at a point in his career now where he's earned the right to become a free agent, and he gets to choose the next place where he'll pitch. And you know, hopefully we'll continue to be in dialogue with Shane, and maybe Cleveland will be an option for him as he thinks about that next chapter. But regardless of how that plays out, I wanted to make sure we took the opportunity to express our appreciation for Shane and all that he's given to the organization. He established himself as one of the best pitchers in baseball in the time with us. And he left some indelible memories for us and contributions he made on the field for the Cy Young season, you know, the 2019 All-Star game, and all sorts of other individual accomplishments that help support our team and making a number of postseasons. But the other thing we want to make sure we emphasize with Shane is the legacy he will leave extends far beyond just those on-field contributions. He is a consummate professional. He was an incredible leader. He was a great teammate. He was the type of guy that we could continually point to say, if you want to be great, look at what Shane Bieber does. And every day Shane Bieber showed up in the clubhouse to help set that example. And so he's not only left a lasting imprint on this organization with the contributions he's made on the field, but the impact he's had on so many people around them and their development.
Guys, obviously Emmanuel Clase had a historic season, you know, broke a Guardians franchise record and was terrific on so many levels, but didn't have the postseason that he wanted. Certainly not asking to have, you know, specific details from an end of season meeting revealed with him, but how was his attitude? How was his approach after, you know, the end of the season didn't end the way that he wanted to, and yet he still accomplished a lot?
I think for Emmanuel, it's just what it is. He had a phenomenal season. We couldn't have asked for anything more from him. His demeanor never changed. His attitude never shook. He was the same person. You know, of course, the results weren't there, but he still threw the ball great. We still wanted him out there in the ninth. And I know Emmanuel pretty well after a year. I have a feeling that's going to fuel his offseason, and he's going to come back ready to go, and even more so. He wants to be the best, and he has been the best. And outside of a couple bad results, he had a phenomenal year for us, and really thankful that he was taking the ball in the ninth inning at the end of the game, and he couldn't have been anything more for us.
Yeah, I certainly try not to ask you this too much when you were going through it, because obviously it was, you know, in the heart of the postseason. But now that you've had a chance a couple days to come up for air, what did you learn about managing postseason baseball and how it is a little different than the regular season? And maybe not specific decisions, but would you handle any of it differently when you move forward here?
Yeah, I mean, I have had some time to reflect on that. And the answer is no, I wouldn't have handled anything differently than the way we did. You know, our process, my process of being ready for a game is to talk through anything that could come our way. And our process was really good. We talked through coaching staff, analysts, you name it. We prepare for every situation that could come up, and we try to put our guys into the best position to succeed. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And my reflections on that are, you're going to make thousands of decisions every year. They're not all going to work. They're not all going to go your way. What can you learn from it, and how can you get better moving forward? And so I don't look back at anything with regret. I don't look back and wish it could have, would have, should have. It's, we did what we felt was best in the moment, and it either worked or it didn't. And I couldn't be more proud of our guys. And we asked them to do things all year long, and they answered the call more often than not. And that's what the beauty of baseball is. You never know what the outcome is going to be. And it's a beautiful thing.
Chris, obviously Andrés Giménez was a focal point of building this franchise too. I know there were some tough at bats for him in the postseason, but some of the defensive plays that he made, I think, really stand out in fans' minds. Are you seeing something about Andrés Giménez that you feel like he is a cornerstone of this franchise moving forward?
Yeah, I think you highlighted, Brandon. First and foremost, the defense that he continues to provide has been exceptional. You know, he's probably among the best defensive players at any position on the planet. And we saw firsthand the impact that can have in those postseason series. He's a great base runner. He's a great teammate. He's out there every day. I think the one area we want to continue to partner with Andrés on is, how can we help him be more consistent offensively? And we've seen glimmers of that throughout the course of the past three seasons, but it has not been as consistent as he'd like recently. And so that'll be a big focal point for him and our coaching staff going into the offseason, is supporting Andrés and trying to work towards being a more consistent offensive player.
You know, Chris, with such a young team, I think leadership from guys like Matthew Boyd, obviously Hosey, you know, even the midseason additions played a big role. When you're looking at a starting pitching market that might be a little thinner this year, how important is it to focus on guys that have leadership experience like Boyd, like Cobb, pitching, you know, lots of major league innings, Or are you maybe prioritizing, when you think about the rotation, guys that might be able to give you, you know, innings for multiple years, or are those hand in hand?
I think they're all of those things are things that we're looking for in starting pitchers. I think it was one of the reasons we were attracted to both Matt and Alex in the first place, is not only had they established themselves as really effective major league starting pitchers, but they were renowned to be great teammates and leaders that could have a positive impact on the development of some of our other young starters. So yes, those are all things that we will be looking for, but I think for us, what's equally important and the thing that we know for us to be a successful team moving forward is we have to help the guys that are here continue to get better and improve. And we have a young group of pitchers, both that have already contributed to the major leagues and some that are on the way, that we believe can be big parts of our rotation moving forward. But there's a lot of work left to do. And so one of the primary focuses for us this offseason is, how do we help that group prepare to have a better and even more successful 2025 than 2024?
You heard the games all season long here on WEOL, an affiliate of the Cleveland Guardians. And that was their season-ending press conference with manager Stephen Vogt and president of baseball operations, Chris Antonetti. And that's our North Coast conversation for today. If you missed any of our previous programs, you can always go to WEOL.com, click on the on-air tab, and look for North Coast Conversation. I'm Bruce Van Dyke. Thanks for listening to North Coast Conversation on AM 930 and 100.3 FM WEOL.